Thank you so much for joining us for this message. Whether you're watching for the first time or you're simply catching up on a message that you missed, we're so glad that you are connecting to God's Word today. Our hope is that as you listen to the message, you'll experience a real encounter with God. Please consider giving financially to support God's work through our ministry. You will find several options to do that by clicking on the word Give in the menu on our website at kentwoodcommunitychurch.com. Thanks so much for joining us today.
I'm going to ask Sean to come on out here. We're going to read scripture. I'm going to ask you in the sanctuary to stand out of respect for God's word. We're in Acts chapter 1. We're going to read verses 4 to 11. I'll read the starting at verse 4. Then you will follow along with Sean after that. And those at home, you're welcome to either follow the screen and or grab your own Bibles. Acts chapter 1, starting in verse 4. Hear the word of the Lord. Once when he was seated with them, he commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before." Verse 5.
John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.
So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, "Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom?" Verse 7.
He replied, "The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know.
But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Verse 9.
After saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him.
And as they strained to see him rising into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. Verse 11.
"Men of Galilee," they said, "why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go."
Hear the word of the Lord. Let's pray. We ask today, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts would be pleasing in your sight. And as the prophet Samuel prayed long ago, we pray now, "Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening." And all God's people said, you can have a seat. All right, I got to breathe for a second, because I have the propensity when I get really excited about a new series that I can talk way too fast. And for some of you, you're like, "Oh, slow down, Pastor." Secondly, I have a propensity to want to share it all with you in one sermon. But I'm not going to do that. God being my help, I might get off on a tangent, but I will try to stay on course. Is that okay? We're going to break this subject up into three parts. Now, let me just say this. Whether you are at home, whether you are in this place, I believe this series is the second most important series you will ever hear in your life. The first, obviously, is the message about Jesus, the salvation that comes through him, and the hope of heaven. About salvation is the most important. But this series is going to take us one step further that a lot of time in the church we simply do not answer. And that is this: how then shall I live? I have my salvation. I have my ticket to heaven. But how then shall I live my life? And many of us, if I'm not too blunt, are walking around in a spiritual twilight zone. We know where we're headed, but there's no difference before we said yes than after we said yes, because we've not engaged in this subject. So for the next 3 weeks, we're going to look at the subject of the Holy Spirit. When we look at the Holy Spirit, I think we basically have two camps in Christendom. On the left over here, we got the camp that are very, very intellectual. They understand and they can preach incredibly about the Holy Spirit. They can exegete it from the Bible and give you all the points about the Holy Spirit. But one flaw in that camp is that it simply falls into the mind. And there are even some camps that will say that the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the miracles of the Holy Spirit, the healings, the signs and wonders are no longer applicable today. And they will take a biblical argument that I won't talk about through the book of Acts to try to make that point. In other words, there's a group of Christendom that is all about the Holy Spirit, but try to keep the Holy Spirit in his little domesticated box. We say we want the Holy Spirit to come. We desire for him to manifest himself. But we don't really know what that means, and we're fearful that if that something happens, what would we feel a little uncomfortable, or we feel a little bit weirded out by it all? That's a large group of Christendom. Over here is the group that are all about the experience of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, the demonstration of the Holy Spirit, and I applaud that. But here's the flaw of this, is that if you don't connect truth and mind to that, you have people in Christendom that so desire an experience that subtly the experience becomes more important than Jesus himself. And what I know to be true is that if you want an experience bad enough, there is an enemy. His name is Satan. There is an army. There are demons who will give you an experience all in the name of religiosity, but it will cost you something. And then somehow in this camp of Christendom is that if we don't somehow experience an emotional moment every single time, somehow we've missed it. Those are the two extremes on the Holy Spirit as I see them. Obviously, there's a lot in between those two. My desire for you today is simply this, is that we can truly understand the mind and the heart of the Holy Spirit. You can't have one without the other. Can I get an amen from somebody? Yes. I have been praying and feeling heavy like I've never felt since I've come to KCC, because there's a desire inside of me that we would experience a fresh wind, a fresh power, a fresh demonstration of the Holy Spirit. That I wouldn't manipulate it. I wouldn't try to conjure it up, but somehow I would at least expect that somehow God can do something here and now with me and my life. Does anybody else believe this today? Yes? So this is the cry of my heart. I believe the Holy Spirit gives us divine revelation. Can anybody say amen? I believe that he inspires scripture. Can somebody say amen? I believe the Holy Spirit was there at the conception of Christ. Can somebody say amen? I believe he strengthens saints for service. Can I get an amen? I believe he reveals to us eternal life. Can I get an amen? I believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Can I get an amen? I believe he gives us miraculous works. I believe he enables us to have spiritual gifts. I believe he reveals to us prophecy. Does anybody else believe this morning? Are you afraid of it? Does it freak you out? I'm here to tell you today, do not allow your personality. Do not allow your tradition. And don't even allow your culture to get in the way of the biblical worldview and the biblical teaching of who the Holy Spirit truly is. Can I get an amen? In the next few weeks, today we're going to look at the role of the Holy Spirit. Next week, I'm going to preach about the working of the Holy Spirit. And then I will preach lastly on the equipping of the Holy Spirit. And so when we look at this, it's important for us to understand let me clear up three misteachings about him immediately. And that is, number one, the Holy Spirit is not a force. This is not Star Wars. The Holy Spirit is the third person of a triune God. He has emotions. He can be grieved. Can I get an amen? Secondly, the Holy Spirit is not a magical genie that you can take your little lamp and rub it, and the genie comes out and does a tap dance and gives you three wishes. And thirdly, the Holy Spirit is not your emotional charger. We need to call that out immediately. But outside the Pentecostal charismatic movement, the evangelical church in general, I believe, generally speaking, has really left out the Holy Spirit. What do I mean by that? I can travel in evangelical churches across our country. I can take you from Seattle, Washington, all the way down to Miami, Florida, from San Diego, California, up to Portland, Maine. And I can go into evangelical churches, and they are all mostly cookie cutter churches. They all look the same. They all perform the same. And although I'm okay with culture, and I'm okay with certain types of traditions, but I believe that each of us have uniquenesses in the area in which we live. with the people in which we worshiped. Does this make sense to anybody? And we could go through these churches and we could do our Sunday morning services. We can do our church services without even acknowledging that we need the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. God, have mercy on us. And I believe we are in a day and age where we can no longer do this. You see, so often when we look at, as an evangelical church, we talk about Jesus, and rightfully so, right? But can I give you the biblical concept of what this means? Where is Jesus right now? We just read about it. Jesus ascended where? To heaven. Where is he in heaven? The Father's right-hand side. What are the two things we know from Scripture that Jesus is currently doing? From Scripture, he's interceding for you and for me. Can I get an amen? And the second thing we know is he's preparing a place for us. Those two things from Scripture we know that he's doing. But all what we do is we pray only to Jesus, only acknowledge Jesus, and we totally leave out the main player, because when Jesus ascended in Acts 1, the number one role player at this point is the Holy Spirit. You follow me today. Many people have misinterpreted Jesus' last discourse with the disciples. If you want to look at that later, that's in John 13 to 17, right before he died, in what we call the upper room discourse. And one statement he says to disciples is what? You're going to do greater works than me. Many people have interpreted that our miracles will be greater than Jesus's. And I'm like, wait a minute. I'm going to do more and greater. What does that all mean? What he's trying to say in that, the greater miracle is simply this. Jesus limited himself, was limited to time and space, right? The Holy Spirit is now coming. He is not limited to time and space. He's now going to indwell all believers. And as a result, the gospel will go to all the world. And there is the greater miracle. Does this make sense to anybody today? The uniqueness of Christianity, of all other religions, is the Holy Spirit. Besides Jesus, it's the Holy Spirit. And what do I mean by that? The Holy Spirit is the one who enables us to have an intimate relationship with God, the God of the universe. You don't have to study science and all the inner workings of that to know that God is an amazing God beyond what we could ever imagine. That amazing God enables you and I, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to have relationship with him. Now, we live in such a, in the Western world, in such a naturalistic, scientific, predictable world, that when we talk about the Holy Spirit, that is really hard for us. But you need to know that we are a small population of the greater church of Jesus Christ. And you need to understand that the greater church of Jesus Christ, the larger, I should say, church of Jesus Christ, is outside of our own country. And do you know the largest churches and the fastest growing churches are the churches that understand the working of the Holy Spirit, the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit in Latin America and in the continent of Africa, where the church is growing at levels that we have never seen in the history since Jesus gave us the Great Commission. I celebrate that. I just heard Francis Chan gave a speech, who's now in China, he's in Hong Kong. And he's in Hong Kong because he's like, the fish, they're not biting too much in the US anymore. But they're biting really well in Hong Kong. That concerns me a little bit, does it not you? Because I love the place in which I call home. I'm not ready to give up on home. Are you with me, folks? It's not an either or, it's a both and. But we are in desperate, and I mean desperate moments as a church, that if we leave this out, this teaching, this experience, this role of the Holy Spirit, we are, may I be so blunt, doomed. It's coming our way. And what we see here in Acts chapter 1 is the Holy Spirit's role becomes the dominant role of the resurrection of Jesus. Now, has the Holy Spirit always existed? Absolutely. In the entire Old Testament, the difference is that in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came down when God's glory was at risk. When there needed to be a miracle and a supernatural moment, the Holy Spirit came in and he equipped people and he provided the supernatural for his glory. But now he's saying in Acts chapter 1, things are going to change a bit. I'm not coming and going. I'm coming and I'm staying. Now you're going to experience me in a supernatural way. That's what I was trying to get at. When the Holy Spirit engages us, it is a subjective, mystical, supernatural experience that my spirit with his spirit. Again, if you're in our Western worldview, it's very difficult to go there because we want it all nice, neat, and packaged. We want our T's crossed and our I's dotted. That's domesticating the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not saying we go outside the truth of Scripture, just to make that clear. Well, here we see in verse 5 of chapter 1, they had not experienced the Holy Spirit yet. Jesus is talking to his group of people who are with fear and scared. They are lacking wisdom and lacking focus and lacking power. They're self-absorbed, right? And what does he say to them in verse 8? He's like, wait, stay in Jerusalem. You can't read chapter 1 of Acts without reading chapter 2 of Acts, but we don't have time to go there. We will this summer. But in Acts chapter 2, he's like, wait in Jerusalem because the Holy Spirit's coming. And when he falls upon you, you're going to receive power and you're going to be my witness all over the world. And the way you will know this is you will see it with fire. And the proof of it was what? They all came into Jerusalem. It was during this festival called Pentecost. The feast of Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit fell, and in that moment, they with people from all around, with all different languages, they started to speak in a tongue and in a language that everybody understood, which was like, wait a minute, this does not happen. This breaks the curse of the Tower of Babel. This enables us now to engage with one another. Something supernatural is happening here, and what it did in those individuals was a game changer, right? Do you remember before this occurred? They all ran. They all scattered. They all looked out for themselves. The heat was on, was it not? It was cool to chill with Jesus for 3.5 years. But during the moment of the epic conflict, the kingdoms of conflict, in that moment, they all scattered and looked out for themselves. But what happened when the power of the Holy Spirit fell upon them that he promised them in verse 8? They went out with supernatural strength, wisdom, courage, and willing to die. If you want to know proof of the gospel, there it lies in people themselves. Because I'm here to declare to you, nobody dies for a lie. You agree with me? Nobody dies for a lie. Well, we need to understand that he's saying to us today that you and I now have the exact same. After Acts chapter 2, every single time we say yes to Jesus, Ephesians 1 says, the Holy Spirit does what? He comes and he is the seal guaranteeing our salvation, right? So today, with the time we have left, I'm going to give you 3 things that are the roles of the Holy Spirit. You're welcome to follow along. The roles of the Holy Spirit, the first one is simply this. The Holy Spirit reveals spiritual truth. Can somebody say truth? Say it again, truth. Now, as I've already said, 2020 and 2021 is put us in a situation we have never been put in before. The battle for truth is now upon us. We're creating truth in our own narratives and in our own context. We debate where truth comes from. We debate whether truth is from the scripture or whether truth is from within or whether truth is simply unknown. We're in the middle of all of that. Having said that, the scriptures tell us clearly in Romans chapter 1 that from the very beginning, the Holy Spirit has been revealing what? Truth to us about who God is. Romans 1:20, his invisible qualities, his principle, his power and his nature are all been revealed. He's been continuing to reveal to us. And how do we know simply that God, through his Holy Spirit, is always speaking? Now, have you ever heard this term? God is speaking to me. If you've heard that before online, I want you to say amen to that. In the house, if you ever use the term God is speaking to me, raise your hand. I want to see if anybody uses that term before. Yeah. Do you know for some people in Christendom, that's a really kooky statement? They're like, wait a minute, God's speaking to you? What are you talking about? Yes, God can speak from the sky with an audible voice, but that's not the norm. How does God typically speak through the Holy Spirit? He speaks through life situations. He speaks through pain and suffering. It's God's megaphone to get our attention. Yeah? He speaks through worship, which we just did, which you get to choose, by the way, each week. Will I enter into worship or will I be passive and just kind of go, well, that was nice? He speaks through prayer, spirit to spirit. Worship, spirit to spirit. He speaks through people. Now, let me illustrate it this way. What's happening right here, right now. If you are sensing at home and you're sensing in this room that somehow God's speaking to you as I give these words, that's an example of the Holy Spirit working right now in your heart. He can take all of the people in this room simultaneously and all the people at home, and he can begin immediately speak into your life from the words in which I'm saying and apply it to your specific situation. That's pretty amazing, is it not? That's the God that we serve through the power of the Holy Spirit. He does exactly that for all of us. 2 Timothy 3:15-17 says, the Spirit reveals salvation. Why? Verse 16, 17. Because Scripture is God breathed. It's from the Holy Spirit. It makes it different than any other book in the history of the world. Does this make sense? It is the hearing of the word, Romans 10 says, that gives us faith. Psalm 119:115 says, it is the word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Our experience with the Holy Spirit is girded in the truth that he shows us. Now, how does the Holy Spirit work? He works with revelation, with authority, with inspiration, and with illumination, does he not? He reveals continually about the universe, about God, about humanity, through the authority of Scripture. Now, let me just say this. As soon as we walk away from this, as the authority, all bets are off. And now we live in a day and age where we are walking away from this like nobody's business. There are new types of teaching out there that are fighting against the church. Critical race theory, trajectory hermeneutics, to name just a few. That we, if we don't believe this as the authority, we go further than the Scriptures actually declare we should go. When then at that point, we're in trouble. Trajectory hermeneutics, hermeneutics is the science of studying Scripture, says that now as a people, we've now evolved to this point so that we now interpret Scripture from being enlightened as a culture right now. So therefore, we look at things a little differently. For example, sexuality. So the Scriptures that talk about the confusion of sexuality and pastors that are afraid to talk about sexuality, because I'm here to tell you very soon, yes, very soon, this will be known as a hate book, and I will be known as a someone who speaks hate. That's our current climate and where we are headed. But if people really look up close, there's nobody that will love more and say everybody is welcome. We may not condone everything that you do, but you are still welcome and loved here. Can I get an amen? But this is where it will take us when we no longer believe the revealing of truth through the Holy Spirit as the authoritative word of God. You will then gut Jesus and say that how pious and arrogant is it that you say that Jesus is the only way? There are many ways to God. How dare you, you bigot? Secondly, we will gut the reality of hell. And hell will only be a metaphor. And my response, if hell is not real, then we do not need a cross. We do not need a sacrifice. We do not need to be saved from anything. Sure, Jesus can help us in this life, but really, I can take it or leave it. But this is where we're headed in our world today. And the Holy Spirit is committed to what? Revelation, authoritative, but also inspiration. Inspiration says this, my friends. And illumination, they both say this. I can read this book, and I have, I just want you to know. I read through the Bible every year for, I can't even remember how many years, I've been a Christian almost 40 years, but many, many years. That's why I know the Bible, I just keep reading it. And here's what's amazing about the inspiration and the illumination of the Scripture through the power of the Holy Spirit that reveals it. I can read it, know the story, be in my current situation that I'm in, and it will speak to me specifically in that moment that was different than it was 2 years ago. That's the power of the living word. Can I get an amen? It is God breathed. So we will hold on to truth. It will be our last guardrails. And as soon as we cave to that, we've got preachers today, and I will tell you the vast majority of churches And I'm saddened by this, but I think it's true. You'll continue to see the compromise of the gospel to fit the politically agenda of our day and age. And 2020 and 2021 is only just the beginning. And the road ahead of us is definitely not the road behind us. This is why we need the power of the Holy Spirit continuing to reveal truth to us. Persecution has been around for a long time, but in America, we simply don't and have not seen persecution for our faith. It's reaching our shores. Are we ready? I feel like for a lot of us, we're kind of like the disciples before Pentecost. Are you with me? Before Pentecost and the power of the Holy Spirit, they were willing, they were desiring, they believed, right? Let's do this thing, exactly. But when push came to shove, when rubber hit the road, what happened? They fled. It's my responsibility as your pastor to prepare you, not to entertain you, not to make you feel good. The Holy Spirit, that's his job. My job is to prepare the bride for what is ahead of us. The key point is simply this, of revealing truth. The Spirit is continuously revealing to us, and our response needs to continuously be yes. Can I get an amen? The second role of the Holy Spirit is not just to reveal truth. The second role of the Holy Spirit is redeeming us. Is redeeming us. Can somebody say, redeem me, Lord? Say it as though you mean it. Redeem me, Lord. The Hebrew word for redemption is pidyon, which literally means to deliver or to rescue. He now, as the main character in the Godhead in our lives, is now in the process of rescuing us and delivering us from our sin, delivering us from our temptation, delivering us from our guilt, and pointing us to the one that we need to be pointed to is Jesus. The role of the Holy Spirit is to make Jesus what? The centerpiece. It's all about him, is it not? And he is the one who is the production manager of all this, can I say? Now, when we look at Jesus, you may have not thought about this, the role of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' earthly ministry. Let me quickly show you yet a biblical reality of this. In Jesus' birth, Matthew 1, he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. In his ministry in Luke 3, the baptism, the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus like in a bodily form, like a dove. In his prayer life, Luke 4, 1, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit. In his teaching, in Luke chapter 4, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me. And then he quotes Isaiah 61, to proclaim the year of the Lord. In his healing, in Luke 5, and the power of the presence of him was upon me to heal. In his death, the Spirit offered himself to God. In his resurrection, Romans 1, by the Spirit, he was raised. That is good news. Now, a good question to ask is, wait a minute. If you got your thinking caps on, Jesus, if he truly is God, why would he need the Holy Spirit? You ever thought about that? If he's truly God, why does he need the Holy Spirit? If he's the second person of the Trinity? I'm glad you asked that question because I want to answer it for you. You have to go to Philippians chapter 2. And Philippians chapter 2 says this, Jesus, who being the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something he had to hold on to, but he limited himself to understand what it meant to live as a human, even though he had access to the divine. And as a human, he submitted to the power of the Holy Spirit, which then is a model for those of us after him to do exactly the same. Does this make sense to anybody? So if we're going to be redeemed, delivered, and rescued, we need to know first and foremost from John chapter 3 that it is the Spirit of God that allows us to be born again. Do you remember the story of Nicodemus? It's the Spirit that leads us. No one comes to the Father except through whom? The Spirit, prevenient grace, God begins to work in our lives to draw us to him so that we have the ability to say yes to him. The Spirit of God is already working in us. Important for us to understand. He empowers us in our ministry, right? With the gifts of the Spirit. We can do nothing without him. And that's what I'm afraid of in the church. We have relied on our talents. We relied on our skills. I need to tell you that I could come up here and I could preach week in and week out. And the staff knows this because in chapel, I can just get up and talk about anything, really. I just like to talk. I'm full of words. God help me. Help my wife. But I weigh heavily every single week. What is it that God wants me to say? And he puts this mantle of weight upon me week in and week out, because this is not a game we're talking about. This is heaven and hell. This is about how I can be victorious. This is about answers to tough questions in my life. And if we don't take it serious, we're in trouble. He also redeems and rescues us in our prayer life. Ephesians 6:18, pray in the what? Spirit, just like Jesus. He will also help us in our death and being resurrected like Jesus. All orchestrated by the Holy Spirit. Do you hear me? He's delivering and rescuing us, taking us to glory. We can't do it by ourselves. But what I see today in 2021 in the church, too many of us are walking in this flesh, walking in our own character and our own charisma and our own talents. God have mercy on us. He wants to redeem us from our mind, knowing the difference between right and wrong. Now, he wants to deliver us and rescue us from our own heart. What does Jeremiah 17:9 say? Our heart is deceptive above all ways. Who can trust it? Now, do you know why many of us don't hear or are not sensitive to the Holy Spirit, even though we know he dwells in us as a result of salvation? The reason we don't experience him is two reasons. Number one, we don't believe it or allow for it. Or number two, we're in sin. The Spirit of God will only put so many stop signs up in front of you. And if you run through those stop signs, eventually there will be no more stop signs. You with me? On a lighter note, if he's saying to you during and throughout the day, I would like you to call such and such and pray for them. You see somebody at the store, I want you to engage them or pay for their food. I want you to engage this way or that way. And if you never, ever respond to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, guess what happens? You will no longer hear the prompting of the Holy Spirit. He's redeeming and rescuing us and saying, wake up and listen. I am speaking. Step back. The problem is, church, God help us, we're so distracted. Distracted with all of our devices. They're in our faces 24/7. We can never give it a rest. It's an addiction that has taken us to places we simply do not want to call out. Sure stops us from hearing the quiet, still voice of the Holy Spirit. We know that today, the distractions, we can't even go to the bathroom without a device. How many are guilty as charged? You won't raise your hand. Now the preacher's preaching a little bit too close to home. He wants to redeem and rescue us, to do ministry together, to pray together, to redeem our hearts and our minds. When this pandemic and all this hell broke loose, what did I say to you? My greatest fear over a year ago was this: the shutdown will do dramatic impact on the church. Some of us already have a propensity towards this, and this has only fed that propensity, and that is this: I don't need you all. Now, I'm not hammering those of you at home today, because the pandemic affects each of us differently. I'm talking post-pandemic. I've tried to provide what we call community groups for you. Told you straight up, you're gonna need to be in small groups, even if it's via Zoom. You're not called to this race by yourself. But what I realize this many months in, that many of us are saying, I don't need that. Dangerous. You were called to be redeemed and delivered together in community. You can take it or you can leave it, but that's the truth. And even if you say, well, my personality, Pastor, I'm kind of a loner, I'm kind of quiet. Sometimes you don't allow your personality to dictate the day. Sometimes you do what is right for you, even though it's something that's not natural for you. Is this good for anybody? Yeah? Here's what I want you to realize. He also redeems us and delivers us from our own will. The choices that you and I will make. The key point is the Holy Spirit changes you from the inside and out. Beginning, the new beginning is possible. Let me give you the last and final rule. The first is he reveals spiritual truth. The second is that he redeems us. And the third, which is where we're going to be for the remaining of the series, but I'm going to introduce it this morning, the Holy Spirit indwells us. The Holy Spirit indwells us. Can you repeat after me? Say, come, Holy Spirit. Say it again, come, Holy Spirit. And I'm here to tell you the ambush is on. He's trying to trip us up in every form and fashion. Men, he's putting sexy pictures in front of you on your Instagram and in your Facebook and in your Snapchat and any other devices that you use and platforms you are engaged with. And it takes you down a trail you don't want to go. He's setting booby traps so that your tongue will shoot off when people tick you off and your anger comes out. He is after us, but we have a promise called the Holy Spirit that indwells us. Now that's a mystery, isn't it? How to explain the indwelling of the Holy Spirit inside a person is really difficult theologically to do, but Scripture tells us, Jesus said in John 14, I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Paul tells us, which we'll look at later in Ephesians 2:18, be filled with the Holy Spirit, which is implied there is that even though we have the Spirit of God, there's got to be a continual filling up inside of our lives so that we can hear him and obey him. Paul says in Ephesians 3, through the power of the Spirit, you will know how wide and deep and long is the love of God. In other words, you and I won't have the capacity or the ability to do it by ourselves. Does this make sense to anybody? Jesus is speaking about us and him in us. He says in John 15, abide in the branch, abide in the vine. He's more talking about intimacy and fellowship than he is physical body. He is Emmanuel, God with us, being filled with him. Now let me parallel a pretty cool thing that pulls us all together about the indwelling. Y'all remember back in the Old Testament, and the nation of Israel is coming out, right, out of Egypt. They don't know God, but they have seen the demonstration of God. They've seen it in what? They've seen it in Egypt with all of the plagues. They saw the Red Sea split, did they not? But now they're going to meet God. In Exodus chapter 20, and they come to a mountain called Sinai, and God's going to meet with them. And do you remember the dialogue? You read it later. What do they say to Moses? Moses, tell God to stop. We can't live and engage him, have him engage us anymore. He's too amazing. He's too overwhelming. He's too mighty. And you know what we've done in America? We've made God our buddy from out of town. We've lost the respect and the awe and the fear of God in our evangelical churches. We don't come in with a hunger and a reverence for the God of the universe. But I'm here to tell you, throughout the Old Testament, throughout the New Testament, what we see when the presence of God, when his Holy Spirit falls, three things are typically present: fire, smoke, and the earth shaking. And at Sinai, fire, smoke, and an earthquake occurred, and they all stepped back and said, Moses, you go talk to God for us. We will surely die if this continues. What were they experiencing? Well, fire is an amazing thing. God speaks through fire, the burning bush. When God's presence came and engaged Moses, it was what? Through a burning bush, but it didn't consume the bush. Fire is essential in our lives. It does a lot for us. But we can't handle fire. If we get too close to fire, it will what? It will destroy us. It's the same way with God. Now catch that. That was their experience of God. And then the Spirit of God was limited to a place called the Holy of Holies. And only once a year, one individual could go in and be the advocate on behalf of the nation, right? Because we couldn't handle the presence of God. Fast forward to Acts chapter 2. Jesus has died and rose again and ascended to the heaven. To the Father's right hand and said, now the Holy Spirit's coming down. Catch this, I'm getting excited. Now, just like Exodus 20 in Acts chapter 2, The power of God is now falling, and it falls with what? Fire. But the only difference this time is that it dwells in us. Mount Sinai is no longer the place for the power of God to fall, the Spirit of God to fall. It is you and it is me. We are now that mountain. Isn't that good news? And unlike the Israelites who needed Moses as a go-between, and only one could see the Shekinah glory of God and experience all of that, now the doorway has been opened for all y'all. Is that Southern? It has been opened for all of us. And now we get access directly through the power of the Holy Spirit that he indwells inside of us. There is something about that is the most incredible truth that you and I must understand today. Are we willing to listen to his promptings? I knew this morning when I came in, you know what, I'll be honest with you, sometimes I want to freak you all out. We're in worship and I'm feeling a heaviness. I'm like, oh man, the enemy's trying to stop this. Why is it so heavy? Why is it so difficult? And I just started praying the entire time when I was down there. I'm like, you know what, Holy Spirit, this is yours, this isn't mine. These are your people. You love them a whole lot more than me. Yes, they have free choice. They can walk out of here and say, whatever. You be like the book of James, you walk away and forget what I said. Or you can take it to heart and say, wait a minute, there's something to this. And in the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at what does this indwelling actually do and look to us. We know now from today that because we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in us, that you and I have the ability to be assured. You need assurance today? I know that he will complete the work that he began in you. I know that he will stick closer than a brother. I know that nothing will ever separate him from you. I know that we can be more than conquerors. I know that if God is for us, who can be against us? I know that when the Spirit of God is inside of me, that's the assurance that I have. Does anybody need assurance today? Yeah. He gives us truth that I can hold on to as my anchor when my emotions are haywire and when nothing else makes any sense at all. When I'm ticked at God, anybody been there? When I'm frustrated with God, I hold on to truth and not my emotions at that point. I repeat the prophet Job, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He guides me in all the decisions of my life. I'm listening, Lord. I'm echoing Jesus, not my will, but your will be done. And you may be going through a health issue online and at home. You may be going through a marriage crisis that looks like it's over with. Maybe you have a prodigal child. Maybe you got a job you just lost. Maybe you've got a sickness. Maybe you got a financial disaster. I'm here to tell you because of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, he's not the genie that will tap dance and give you three wishes. But he's the one who will give you peace, hope, and assurance and comfort. A peace that goes beyond understanding. He will give that to all of us. Is anybody with me? He's the one that when he indwells us, when we fall down, you know what I'm talking about. Boy, that was a really good sermon. I went out and I cussed my wife out. Now I really feel like a loser. He's there in that moment. Let's be real. And he's there to pick you up when you fall and when I fall, because he's with us to the very end. He's not saying, okay, you screwed up, now I'm gonna punish you and put you in the corner and let you feel what it feels like to be distant from me. It didn't work that way. Yes, we can feel a distant from him because of our sin, but he's always chasing us down. He's always coming after us. Even when we fail, he helps us to live a holy life. Does anybody believe that love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and self-control, that these things are actually possible? They're called the fruit of the Spirit. It's for you and for me. What do you mean? It's not for the super religious. You don't even have to know the Bible. He indwells you from the inside out. When I came to know Jesus, I didn't know the Bible at all. All I knew was that I met Jesus. And his Spirit started to convict me and mold me and shape me, and I didn't even know I needed shaped and molded. But it's out of that love relationship that it began to happen in my life. Does this make sense to anybody? And he helps us with prayer. Anybody struggling with prayer, lastly? You know what Paul tells us, folks? Sometimes I don't know what I should pray. Been there? Anybody else? And he intercedes for me with groans that words cannot express. Have you ever been to that end of you? When all you can do is say, I have. I am right now in a situation. All you can say is, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. Does this relate to anybody? I can't say anything else. But then his spirit comes in and gives me exactly what I need. You with me? The key point is this. The Holy Spirit makes the God of the universe personal and up close to my every thought and desire. Wow. So let me review. The role of the Holy Spirit is to reveal spiritual truth, to deliver us and redeem us, and to indwell us. In the next 2 weeks, we're going to talk specifically, but I sure wanted to do it today, what the indwelling really looks like on a day-to-day basis. Are you ready to go there? Can I hear you? Are you ready to go there? I promise you this, I will only give you what is the biblical worldview, even if that's uncomfortable. Not a particular doctrine, not a particular stance. What does the Bible say about this? I'm willing to die for this truth. I'm willing to be the person that will stand up if I'm the last one preaching here all by myself with the camera with the red light. I will keep on keeping on. I'm asking you to join me, because I believe with all my heart, as Paula plays, I believe with all my heart that we need a fresh touch and a fresh wind today. Anybody with me? Yeah? I'm gonna ask the team to come forward as Paula plays this morning. I'm gonna ask you to bow your heads with me. I don't know, Lord, if what I did made any sense, but I feel like I've said what you wanted me to say. My heart's heavy, God. I confess it. I'm not here to woo and wow people. I'm here, Lord, standing before you to equip your church, to prepare them. I don't want them to scatter like the disciples. I don't want them to fear and be compromising. I want every single one of them that can hear my voice, either online or in this sanctuary, to know in the depth of their heart that you are there, that every doubt, you're big enough and able to engage. Every hurt, every pain, you are right there. Every failure, every sin, there you are. Thank you that you chase us even when we run from you. We literally run. We're better than Jonah. We run like nobody's business. We run to our devices. We run to our psychologists. We run to our help books and our medication. We run to our quick fixes. But what we really need is you, Holy Spirit. And we need you now. We're desperate people. Hear our cry today. Hear us, O Lord. Yes, we want to experience you. Yes, we want you to have your way. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, you declare. We don't want to manipulate. But we want to have our sails up to catch your Spirit as you desire to do whatever it is you want to do. I'm not afraid of it, Lord. I'm not afraid of your movement. I'm ready. If you're ready for a fresh wind and a fresh touch, Would you repeat after me? If only from your heart you can declare it. Would you declare out loud, I'm ready. If you believe it, can you declare, I'm ready. Hear our cry, Holy Spirit. Do what only you can do. I'm asking you with your heads bowed and your eyes closed that you would ask God for a new hunger for spiritual truth. I'm asking you to ask to allow him to redeem you and rescue you from every area of your life. And lastly, I'm asking you to truly begin to acknowledge his indwelling spirit in your life, starting now. Here's how we're going to close. If you're online, I want you to just simply declare on the scroll, I want more. Just type, I want more. And our people will engage you. And you can be specific with them in chat. For those of you in the sanctuary, if you want more, I just want you to stand before I close. That's a simple request. Do you want more? If you do want more, stand. I don't know if it's one, five. If you're good with where you're at, you don't want more, good. But be honest. What do you want? Do you want more? Look up this way. Let me just say this, because the Spirit wants me to say it. To those of you that are staying and the people in the room, do you know who this is the most difficult for? It's for those of you who've known Jesus for so long. You've seen it all. You've experienced it all. And my warning to you is that's a very dangerous place to be at, because that's the past. This is 2021. This is now. Don't think that God is finished. I believe with all my heart, the best is yet to come. I believe that. Anybody else? Yeah. Would you repeat after me with your hands like this? Say, praise ye the Lord. Say it again, praise ye the Lord. One more time, praise ye the Lord. May the power of the Holy Spirit be upon you, and may his Spirit begin something new starting today, through this week, and as we reunite, God willing, in a week from now.